After six vaping-related deaths in the U.S., including one in Illinois, the Trump administration has vowed a ban on flavored e-cigarettes. Republican State Senator Jason Berrickman tells WGLT's Mary Cullen he expects the Illinois legislature to take preventive action, too.
First of all, I mean, I'm troubled by the reports that we've seen on vaping. There, you know, this is something that's developed very quickly, I think, in society. And it appears, you know, I'm one of these who I have never vaped. I've been a little confused by what it all is as I've, you know, but I've learned a lot. And, you know, it seems as though there's a whole group of people who have taken to vaping because they somehow think that it's safe, you know, or maybe it's not as harmful as nicotine. Well, you know, here we go. Smoking has killed how many people in this world? And I don't know whether vaping is as harmful or not, but the bar on harmful with smoking is pretty low, right? So anyway, there's been this kind of change of mindset that has quickly accepted vaping as much more harmless than smoking, and it appears that's clearly not. Well, I don't know how they compare, but there's clearly a harm that comes with vaping. Fast forward to, so what's the governmental response? First of all, I heard from some of my school superintendents that I represent this week who are like, you guys need to do something about this. And so I'm certain that at the state, I don't know what the federal, you know, who knows what the federal government will ever do. But at the state level, I believe that we're going to see legislation on this. And the question that's always in my head is, you know, whether it's kind of the extremes and where the right answer is. On the one hand, I think an easy response here is for the state to begin to ban certain products and flavors and things that, especially those things that are enticing to youth, right? Whose society says is not capable of making their own decisions on some of this. I strongly disagree with some of the messages that have been coming out of Springfield over the last, just this last year. Last year, the state of Illinois raised the age of smoking from 18 to 21, but really what they did, and this was much less covered in the news, is they removed the penalties for those who are minors who smoke. So now the age is higher, but if you're a kid and you're smoking, basically the law says, you know, slap you on the wrist, take the cigarette away, and move on. And I think it's a bad message. So I don't know, Mary, where we're going to land on this. I'm very sympathetic to it, and I suppose at this time, you know, my mind's just wrapping around the sense that we need to do something.
If social media is any indication, and it just blew up when the Trump administration announced this idea to ban the flavored e-cigarettes, and a lot of the messaging displayed on social media is frustration over putting a ban on vaping when it kills, but not taking action on gun violence. Again, we have seen gun violence in recent weeks and numerous occasions over the last year. What is your response to the people who are saying, why are we taking action on vaping, but we're not taking action on gun control?
Yeah, and so again, I think at the state level, we're going to see more efforts to do something in response to these national tragedies that have occurred. Some of them have occurred in Illinois, right? So I think there's going to be proposals. What's really frustrated me, I suppose, in the gun, you know, this gun debate is, you know, take last year as an example. There were some good faith negotiations last year designed to respond to, I think it was the shootings up in Aurora, and what was clearly some provisions where the government failed to do its job. And so we approached those negotiations from the perspective of how do we fix this? And we engaged for weeks or months in a series of negotiations on these issues. And ultimately, the Democrats walked away from that negotiation. And I've talked to a lot of my constituents about this. I felt at that time, and so this spring, there was no response. Nothing passed on this issue at the state level. And so I've talked to my constituents, and I said, I really felt then that some of the Democrats, certainly not all of them, but some of them were more interested in having this political issue, the notion of making some sweeping changes in gun control laws is an incredibly emotional issue. It motivates people to write letters and advocate and show up in elections, and it's a very emotionally charged issue. I tend to approach the issue without the emotion. I look at what is the problem and how do we fix it? What's the solution here? And when someone across the table from you in the negotiation has in the back of their head, I don't want to come to an agreement on a solution because I'd rather have the political issue, it's very frustrating. So I think we'll go back again. You know, it could be this fall veto. If not then, I think in the spring session of 2020. And I'm certain that we're going to revisit these things. You're hearing from a lot of people around the country the voice, I support this, that we need to also look at the mental health system, which, it gets very emotionally charged. Some people hear that and they say, they don't like to hear that. And I think the reality is you look in Illinois, just look in our community. If you talk to the hospitals, if you talk to the folks who run the county jail, what they'll tell you is clearly we have a mental health crisis. We have people in our community. They can often identify who these people are. They're showing up in the emergency department. They land in the county jail. And what we know is both of those locations are not a place to deal with the mentally ill, right? They need professional services. They may need medications. They need a bed and a mental health facility where there's trained professionals designed to attend to their needs. And in Illinois, we have an extreme shortage of this. So I again, think that should be part of this discussion, and I'm going to continue to advocate for that.
So you talk about this mental health epidemic, and pointing out McLean County, home of your home district, it has taken some actions within the county itself to try and expand mental health issues and how to address those within the county itself, whether it's the triage center or just increasing accessibility.
The mental health court, which was to some controversial, I thought that was a great program. You're seeing it expanded around the state, but that's an example of the criminal justice system recognizing that things aren't black and white. Someone committed a crime, you throw them in jail, and think, okay, we've dispensed with that issue. When you're dealing with a mentally ill person in the court system, there are underlying causes that got them there, and I'm very proud that McLean County, really, I think in the state, is a leader on these issues. And it's a credit to local leaders who said, we need to do something. We need to try to help solve this problem.
Right. So you're crediting McLean County for doing a great job locally of addressing mental health and mental health needs. So what do you see or what do you hope to change on the state level with your action as a legislator?
Well, I think there's a few things. One is, just like we have 50 states and sometimes you see something that works in one state that could work in another, we call that the laboratories of democracy. And so we sometimes will look to others and adopt ideas. I think within our state, we've got 102 counties. Not every county is as forward-thinking as McLean is on its mental health issues. And so at the state level, we can do things to facilitate those things to occur at the local level. Ultimately, it comes down to funding. Funding is a really big issue. I think Illinois has fallen short on its investment in the mental health community, whether it's making sure services are available, making sure beds are available. These are things that at the state level we absolutely can do more on, should do more on, and I'm hopeful that we will. I mean, that's all a political debate, but those are the low-hanging fruit of what certainly is within our reach.
Now, switching topics a little bit, DCFS released a report this week showing that we are continuing to see increased child deaths in the state. This is something that has been on the agenda of Governor Pritzker. It has been on the mind of the State House for a long time now, but it appears that we're not seeing much progress. What's your take on future steps?
This is, when you think of the roles that the state has, and they play a lot of important roles, but the care for children who are in homes where parents don't want them or where they've been abused is absolutely a key job of the state. And you can clearly see that the Pritzker administration is struggling with this issue. But I don't say that to suggest that they're doing things differently than the Ronner administration, who also struggled with it. I don't necessarily know what the answer is here. I look at the way in which the state is organized on this is incredibly bureaucratic, and it is controlled significantly by union rules and things that may influence the decisions that are being made at the local level, right, between a caseworker and a kid. And so I look at this as, the state's going to have to holistically look at the organization, DCFS, and determine whether organizationally maybe we need to start fresh. And there has to be, I think, some significant kind of transformational effort there, because all the efforts previously, and again, not casting blame on any of the lots of governors have wrestled with this issue. No one's been able to get their arms around it and stop these reports that we're seeing of bad things happening with kids that are stuck in this system. So I think if there were a short and easy answer to this, I think we'd already be there. I look at it as holistically, we're going to have to kind of peel back the layers of DCFS and look at this with some fresh eyes.
Now, we're about 2 months out, but I want you to look ahead to the veto session. We've mentioned a little bit in this conversation. Are there any bills that you're looking at hoping to see progress in the veto session?
I think this is going to be a really unusual veto session. The news reports a few weeks ago talked about the number of bills the governor signed versus vetoed. I think he signed 600 or so, and he vetoed 7. Of the 7, some of them won't even be discussed during veto. I think more significantly, during fall veto, there are some issues out there that are likely going to see some attention. Mayor Lightfoot, the new, I use with air quotes here, but the new Chicago mayor has made very public her pleas that the state assist the city of Chicago with their finances. I think she's out there, saying they need $800 and some million. I recognize that request is coming. And I look at it in the context of we have a state that needs help. We have a lot of downstate communities that need help. I hear the pleas from Chicago, and I'm going to be a vocal advocate that we recognize we're a big state with a lot of diversity and a lot of needs out there. And just because a lot of legislators come from Chicago doesn't mean that should be the only, game in town. So, but that's coming. I think it could come during the fall veto. Along that line, Mayor Lightfoot has talked about the gaming legislation that passed this spring was fatally flawed for the efforts that some had to put a Chicago casino in place. The taxes were too high. Go figure, right? Make fun of Illinois here. So the taxes impacting a Chicago casino are too high. I presume there's going to be an effort to change that tax structure. I think that'll come in the fall veto. There's been talk about other things, a trailer bill on the cannabis legislation. You're starting to hear questions from local municipalities about how the rules impact whether dispensaries exist in their towns. Various questions that are coming about, I think naturally coming about as a result of the very significant changes made to legalize cannabis for adult use. I think you could see legislation this fall attempting not to really shift the policy that was struck, but to clarify certain things. I'll give you just a quick example. I think some municipalities are talking about whether there could be some public consumption of cannabis, say at a bar or a restaurant. I believe that's prohibited by the law. I spoke to some of my colleagues, or one of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle just yesterday on this. And I said, we never agreed that there would be some public consumption. And my colleague says, yeah, I totally agree. We don't know where this is really coming from, but maybe there's something that needs to be clarified there. So I think you're going to see some issues like that over the fall veto session, and who knows, maybe some others.
That was WGLT's Mary Cullen speaking with State Senator Jason Berrickman, Republican of Bloomington. The Illinois legislature heads back to Springfield October 28th to start the fall veto session.